Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, a group of shepherds from the Ikizler village in Turkey were watching over their sheep. Since everything looked fine and the sheep looked safe, they left the herd of sheep just for a little bit to go to get some breakfast. When they returned, they were absolutely dismayed to find that over 1,500 of their sheep had plunged off of a nearby cliff. Evidently, one rather unintelligent sheep started the plunge, only to be followed by all the others. The first 400 sheep that fell over that cliff died instantly. And fortunately, the next 1,100 that followed them were cushioned by the wool of the 400 that had died first. But in the end, the shepherds neglecting their herd paid dearly. 400 of their sheep died, and they lost a total of about $75,000. Those are some bad shepherds, aren't they? And that was a bad joke. But that's what we're talking about here today in our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 23. And actually, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, he's always talking about bad shepherds. Now, he's not talking about literal shepherds that are watching over literal sheep. He's talking about the people that God had placed over his people Israel, whether it be political or whether it be religious. He had placed these people over top of his people to shepherd them, to be an extension of his hand of blessing and compassion. But unfortunately, the leaders that God had chosen did not do a very good job. We see in Jeremiah 23, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil that you have done, declares the Lord." You see, when God gives that responsibility of taking care of his people, that is something that he takes very seriously. And evidently, the shepherds of Israel during that time were not doing a great job. Two chapters before that, it says, "This is what the Lord says to you, house of David. Administer justice every morning. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor, the one who has been robbed. Or my wrath will break and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it." So part of their responsibility was to administer justice to the people of Israel. God knew that there was always going to be acts of injustice, and one of the jobs of the shepherds that he had placed over his people was to make sure that injustice got changed to justice. And then in Jeremiah 22, he says, "But your eyes and your heart are set only on dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood, and on oppression and extortion." So God's shepherds, instead of taking care of the sheep, having compassion on the people, instead they were only interested in dishonest gain, on oppressing and extorting the very people they were supposed to be taken care of. In Ezekiel 34, it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of of the flock? And the obvious answer to that is absolutely yes. A few years ago, there were a couple of men that were standing watching a man drive a herd of sheep up a street through a small town. And the one man looked at the other and said, "Wait a minute, I thought that shepherds led the sheep. I didn't know that they drove them with a whip." The other man remarked, "Shepherds do lead their sheep, but that's not a shepherd. That's the town butcher." There's a big difference between a shepherd and a butcher, isn't there? And unfortunately, the shepherds that God had chosen in the Old Testament were more like the butcher than like the shepherd. Leadership matters, doesn't it? Leadership matters for a lot of different reasons. Here's just a few. A leader often has been given the power and the authority to either help those under his care or harm them. With that authority comes the power to be able to help or harm. Secondly, and this is a very important point, a leader also has the power of influence over those in his care. People often follow the example of the leader's morality or lack of morality, what he says and what he does. Have you noticed that? I think maybe one of the most prominent ways that we see that in our society today is through presidential elections. We've got another presidential election coming up. I have noticed in my time being here on this planet that whenever we have somebody that's in office who is not a Christian person or doesn't have the same morality that we do, it seems like the whole country goes downhill for those 4 or 8 years. On the other hand, when we do have someone that has a Christian view of things, for instance, when it comes to pro-life issues, if we have a pro-life president, then it seems like for those 4 or 8 years, pro-lifers start to grow and there become laws that support life on both ends of the spectrum. No, one of the reasons that leadership matters is because the people tend to follow after the shepherd, whether the shepherd is a good shepherd or a bad one. And therefore, God in Scripture often blesses or curses people based upon their leaders. You can't get around it. All throughout the Old Testament, when Israel or Judah had a godly leader, God blessed them. When they didn't, and the people began to become immoral just like their leaders, then God's judgment had to come on them as well. Now, maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, "Okay, Pastor, well, that's good. I agree with everything that you're saying, but I'm not a shepherd. I don't have influence. I don't have people that are under my care." Well, actually, you very well might. In fact, I would say that most everybody here is a shepherd in some way, shape, or form. First of all, parents are shepherds of their children. God has placed you over their care to bless them, to help them, to grow in the things of the Lord, but you also have the authority to harm them as well. Maybe you're not a parent, but if you are an adult, I guarantee you that there are youth in your life that are looking up to you. You are a shepherd. Bosses are shepherds of their businesses. Same thing. Maybe you say, "Well, I'm not the big boss. I'm not the CEO of my business," but maybe you're middle management somewhere. You've got some people that the boss has placed them under your care. You are a shepherd to them. Teachers are shepherds of their classroom. Political leaders are shepherds of the people who live in areas to which they are elected. And pastors and church workers are shepherds of their churches. There are lots of ways that you and I, and this isn't extensive either. There are lots of ways that you and I are given the responsibility to be shepherds over the flock under our care. And we are to be very intentional to be good shepherds to those that are under our care. One of the ways that isn't very pleasant for shepherds, but it's a very important job of shepherds, is found here in Jeremiah 6. It says, "From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace." One of the reasons that God had to judge the Old Testament shepherds of his people is because they were saying, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. In other words, when they were doing wrong, it was the shepherd's job to warn them that they are doing wrong. And instead of warning them, they were saying, "Everything's fine. Everything's good. God's happy with how you're living, with the things that you're doing," even when he absolutely wasn't. Here's our very important point of the day. It's this: a big part of a leader's job is to not only do what is right by his or her sheep, but also to tell those under his or her authority what is right and wrong, and to warn them against doing what is wrong. Listen, nobody likes to do that. I hate that part of my job. But unfortunately, that's a part of every one of our job, that those that are under our care, we need to warn them when something is wrong. In Matthew chapter 18, it tells us that we as a church, that's part of our responsibility toward one another, that when we see a brother or sister that is falling into sin, that we should love them enough to be good shepherds, not bad shepherds, and warn them of what they're doing wrong, in order that hopefully they will turn back to the Lord, ask him for forgiveness, and start over with a new way of life. When we don't do that, that's being a bad shepherd. On the other hand, maybe we actually do that and warn those under our care. But those that we warn may not always take our advice. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear." Well, one of the number one ways to tell at what point we are in the timeline of the world is this. We have a society today that if they don't like what is being said, they will go somewhere else. I want to hear what my itching ears want to hear. That's being bad sheep, right? Because there are times we need to hear that I'm doing something wrong. We need to be rebuked, and that's where the Word of God comes in. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A good shepherd, especially a good shepherd in the church, will use the Word of God as a way of saying, this thing that maybe you're doing in your life is not good. And God is calling you to repent and to turn away from that, because he's got bigger plans for you. And this that you're doing, which is opposed to the things of God, is only going to end up hurting you and hurting others as well. A good shepherd will lovingly share that, dripping with love. And a good sheep will take that under consideration and if need be, will amend his or her ways. Go before the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and then receive it. But like I said, that's not always the case, especially in these last days, is it? So how does God respond to disobedient shepherds and to disobedient sheep? Because I think if we're going to be honest, we're going to say that we are no better than the people in the Old Testament. In fact, we're probably even a little worse. So how does God respond to us when we are disobedient shepherds and disobedient sheep? Well, like we said before, we know how he should respond: with punishment, with harsh discipline, right? But look at what it says in Jeremiah 23 as to how he responds to the disobedient shepherds and sheep. He says, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing," declares the Lord. How does God respond to disobedient shepherds and sheep? He says, "I myself am going to take it upon myself to go after them and to bring them back lovingly to the fold." And how's he going to do that? "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior." What was God going to do in response to disobedient shepherds and sheep? He was going to send a perfect shepherd, a righteous shepherd, not just someone that always did the right thing, but bestowed through him righteousness on his people. Who was that? The Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson for today in Mark 6, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, what did he have? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. Jesus Christ was the good shepherd. In fact, in John 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." In 1972, an Israeli shepherd had brought his sheep into a walled-off, enclosed area for the night. And he had just gone to sleep when he heard this terrible commotion. He quickly rushed over to where the sound was coming from, and to his horror, he discovered that a wolf was in the process of dragging off one of his sheep through a hole in the wall. He was mauling the sheep, and blood was being poured out. The shepherd quickly began hitting the wolf, but then the wolf turned on him and began attacking him. The wolf bit him over and over again as the shepherd just continued striking him on the head. And with a final blow of his staff, he killed the wolf as he himself collapsed into a bloody heap. He managed to crawl over to the half-dead sheep and began to bandage up his wounds. He gave the sheep some water, and then he took it in his own bloody arms, and shepherd and sheep went to sleep together. The next morning, the shepherd was found dead, his body literally draped over the sheep to comfort it and to keep it warm. The following day, the headline in the Jerusalem paper said this: "Sheep alive, covered in the shepherd's blood." When I heard that story this week, I thought, what a perfect analogy of what a good shepherd is. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He got in the middle between the wolf and the sheep, and he took the blows that we deserve for us. For all those times that we are bad sheep or bad shepherds, Jesus got between us and he took the punishment on that cross so that now we could have a relationship with God once again, so that we wouldn't have to fear the punishment that should be coming our way. Jesus took the punishment for us. And because he did, it says in Ephesians 2, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. That's what the blood of Jesus has done for you and for me. So as we finish up this message here today, just a few things to take with you. First of all, this, if you have been given authority, and I would say everybody here has in some way, shape, or form, whether you're a parent, a teacher, a boss, etc., use your authority to bless and not to curse. Use your influence to provide a good example to the flock that God has placed under your care. Secondly, live under your shepherd. Follow Jesus and depend on Jesus for your forgiveness, and look for opportunities to teach those under your care to do the same. Even if you're a shepherd, we're still sheep underneath the good shepherd. Learn to depend on him for forgiveness of all of your sins, and teach those that are under your care to do the same. Thirdly, teach those under your care what is right, and do the hard job of warning them of the consequences of what is wrong. That is part of our responsibility. That's my job as a pastor to you. That's your job as parents to your kids. That's our job as shepherds in whatever facet that looks like. And finally, number four, if you are under another's care, honor your shepherd, especially if he or she is leading you to follow the good shepherd. May God grant that all of us might be good shepherds to those under our care, that we might be good sheep under the care of good shepherds, and that ultimately, inevitably, when we fail, we would come back to the best shepherd who laid down his life for us and find in him compassion, love, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.